Now more Tune Up with Deb, produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George. Let's send it back to your host, Deb Ross.
My guest today is Kevin Plouffe. He is a financial planner with great experience. So I've asked him back again today to talk about some preparation for retirement. So just before the break, we were talking about issues that in your years of planning, you have found particularly frustrating when people you've been trying to assist people in planning for retirement. And of course, you have some really great success stories as well.
Absolutely.
But we're doing kind of a warning show today and more of a let's learn from some people's mistakes. So we talked about the idea of parents giving money to their kids and their children are financially drowning. Now, we're talking about adult kids, of course. And I've seen that many times in my career as well. And unfortunately, you know, we're making emotional decisions at that time to give our kids money. And I think a lot of adult kids think, well, we're getting the money eventually anyway, so I can't, how about if I get some of it a little ahead of time? But at the same time, we really need to look after our financial future and the financial health of our retirement. So what advice do you have for people who have adult kids who are struggling financially? And as a parent and as grandparents, it can be very difficult to watch our adult children and their children go through some financial struggles. What advice would you have for people in that position?
Yeah, I think the most common challenge, to be separated, of course, by the real problems that people have in life, the common challenge is helping kids or grandkids out in scenarios where it's not actually helping them. It's just prolonging a problem that's not being dealt with. And when I say that, the reason I'm cautious is there are situations if your child or a grandchild has a medical condition or something really serious that completely out of their control, they've lost a job and things have just gone south, but they're responsible otherwise, and you can see they're trying to get on their feet. You know, things do happen where helping is very helpful. More often than not, especially the things that I've seen, is where a parent, I'll give you an example. It's not even in this town, so it's not someone anyone would know. But a client kept on taking, you know, good-sized chunks of money out to give to her son. And, you know, our fiduciary responsibility is to make sure that they're not being taken advantage of. So you always have to ask, you know, what's the scenario? What's going on? Is there any other way we can help? And turns out that she was taking them out to help her son with his truck payment. So I started asking about, you know, what happened? How did it get to this point? Because it wasn't one payment. It was several, you know, months and months of this going, maybe even years. And I said, well, he just bought a new truck and, you know, he's working in the oil fields and the oil fields were, you know, the prices dropped and jobs were scarce and his income's a lot lower. And I said, oh, I said, but, you know, hasn't this been going on for a couple of years? And she said, well, yeah, you know, he got rid of his old truck and got a new one. And I'm like, but how much is his payment? She said, oh, it's about $1,000 or $1,200 a month for this new truck. I'm like, well, you know, from my view, I know her situation. She couldn't afford to be doing this. She's closer to retirement than he is. And she's pulling money out of her account. No knowledge of if he'd ever be able to pay her back. So the reality was she felt bad saying no. But when we talked about it, I suggested, you know, he's not really learning anything. If every time that he gets into trouble, he comes to you, you pay his payments. He's obviously not got an emergency fund. He's not living within his means. His job's been up and down several times. So he should know by now not to get the big vehicles because he doesn't need that big of a vehicle for work. He could, you know, save up and buy one cash. And she started opening her eyes and go, oh, you know what? I guess that is right. I'm not really helping him, am I? I don't know if she ever stopped doing it. She stopped telling me about it. I know that. But our job as an advisor is to give advice, not to chastise or criticize. But it's also sad to see people, they just feel that they have to help someone out, even if it's a foolish mistake that they've made over and over and over again. Sometimes saying no is the best thing that you can do for them, so they have to figure it out. And she says, well, he might lose his truck. I'm like, yes, he might. He probably shouldn't have had it in the first place. And that can seem hard, and it is hard for a parent to say that. But if you see a pattern in your child's life that's unhealthy, you contributing to it is not helping them. It actually isn't. Temporarily, it may seem like it because you're avoiding the conflict and all those kind of things. And the longer you've been doing it, the harder it is to back out of it. But the reality is maybe you have to have a tough conversation with them saying, you know, if you're helping them now, say, this is going to come to an end at this point, and after that, you need to figure out how to do it on your own. phone. That way you're giving them forewarning. And even if they don't realize it and they keep coming back to you, when you actually say no, you've given them the opportunity to do it. One of the things that you had suggested before was rather than giving them money, which is usually just going to go to their creditors, which isn't going to them anyway, give them money to go to counseling or pay for counseling for them to go through financial counseling. You know, way better dollars spent. You know, the old concept of give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day. Teach him how to fish, he'll eat for a lifetime. To me, that makes a lot of sense.
I actually liked your take on that personally about teach a man to fish and he'll be gone for the whole weekend.
Exactly. Yeah.
That was hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, I honestly don't even think I can recall the number of times that I've talked with people either nearing retirement or in retirement that have had the greatest of plans. They have money set aside, and then a calamity befalls their children. Mm-hmm. And financial problems and financial calamities happen all the time. But a parent is not the solution for their child's financial calamities. There are wonderful pieces of legislation in place that will protect assets, that will protect grandparents and parents, and there's a good place to turn to for help. And I definitely recommend making some phone calls before taking out the checkbook or withdrawing from the RRSPs. Mm-hmm. It's help that will actually be effective in someone's mm-hmm. life as opposed to giving money. Mm-hmm. And of course, we have generous hearts. We want to give money. But I think we need to have some perspective on that because we make emotional decisions. And emotional decisions can be very, very good mm-hmm. or they can be very, very bad.
Yeah.
And painful, right?
Absolutely.
So do you have any other ideas of common mistakes that we make in our preparation for retirement?
Yeah, I think when looking at all different angles of it, the preparation, I think, is the biggest one. The reliance on other people, I think, is a little too much, specifically financial advisors, accountants, things like that. If you, in your life, don't have much interest in it, yeah, you are to a degree reliant on other people. But at the end of the day, you may or may not be taken care of by the bank or the other person. There's always a conflict of interest. I can tell you as a financial advisor, there's opportunities all over the place to, you know, either have products with higher commissions or steer clients in a direction that may be to the best interest of the advisor versus the client themselves. And a lot of people look at their advisor and say, oh, they're a great person, they're a nice person. Absolutely. And a lot of advisors are in a position where they don't have a choice. It's not like they're choosing to steer you in a wrong direction. They have a mandate to sell products. You know, often in a bank, they've got to sell so many mortgages, so many credit cards, so many savings accounts in a year or in a month. So they have those targets. And it's unfortunate because they're genuinely good people that sometimes I've seen people that have been in institutions where they've completely disregarded their boss's instructions of you have to do these things. And they'll do what's right regardless. But at the end of the day, you won't know that from your side of the bench. So you have to be educated yourself. So the big thing is understand, not be... That doesn't mean you don't take advice from advisors, but double check it. Make sure that it's something. Understand it yourself. Don't just listen to a plan and say, okay, let's do it. Understand it and comprehend it.
Now, I know you're a fan of David Shilton, as mm-hmm. am I. So best known for his book, The Wealthy Barber, and of course, his spot on the Dragon's Den. Mm-hmm. So his perspective is that investors face far more risk than they may be mm-hmm. aware of. And he points out, particularly in his second book, that everyone, the average Canadian investor, I should say, is getting advice from, these people that they're getting advice from, just as you just said, mm-hmm. have something to gain mm-hmm. and nothing to lose.
Mm-hmm.
So Shilton sees that this is a very undesirable spot to be in. And mm-hmm. in most cases, he's probably right. But of course, you did mention the advisor at the bank who didn't follow his boss's mm-hmm. advice, but he's probably not there anymore or she's probably mm-hmm. not there anymore. Most financial advisors seem biased, mm-hmm. quite frankly, and bankers seem biased and so forth. So tell us, what risk does an investor face that he or she is not likely aware of? And is that investment risk downplayed in the market?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's a couple of sides to that. One is the risk of the markets themselves. And you'll have a variety of personalities in a investment industry that will be from conservative all the way through aggressive. And you may find that yourself, you're very comfortable with risk. You may find, on the other hand, that you're not, and you don't think your advisor is until, you know, the markets hit, you know, 2008. And it could be inexperience. It could be that your advisor is just more comfortable with risk than you are. But the biggest thing is, along with that advisor, getting yourself educated, making sure you understand what the risk level of stocks is, what the risk level of bonds is, how a mutual fund works. A lot of people will come to us and say, oh, RSPs are risky. Well, RSPs are a tax shelter. There's no risk to them other than understanding the taxes going in and coming out. They're not an actual investment. The investment inside your RSP or tax-free savings account or education plan can be low, medium, or high risk, but the RSP itself isn't. So understanding that is key from that perspective. The second side of that coin is if you're going to be taking advice from someone, double check it. Just understand what they're saying. Check the news, check reports so that you're not being guided in a place that may be not in your best interest. Again, it might not even be your advisor's intention to be directing you in the wrong way. They just, maybe this is what they were taught. Sometimes if they're inexperienced, I can tell you when I first started out, I knew a lot less than I do now. And some of the advice I gave, I'm like, that was kind of novice and it wasn't really appropriate for every situation. Or it might be that the advisor is just, again, more comfortable with risk than you are. So it's really important to understand your own self, what you're comfortable with. And then if a recommendation is made to you, go do some research on it. Don't implement it right away. Understand it first and go from there.
Excellent. So I'd like to briefly touch on healthcare. Of course, healthcare costs are significant in many households. So what steps can consumer take to manage those costs from your years of experience? Looking for your perspective on that.
Absolutely. One of the biggest factors that comes in on healthcare is insurance. And the concept of insurance is misunderstood, I think, by a lot of people. So just to be clear, in the olden days, rather than having insurance, you'd have a neighborhood where everyone would say, if a barn burns down, everyone shows up and helps. And that concept is, you know, if it's me that gets hurt, I want to make sure that I'm taken care of. So if someone else gets hurt, I'm okay helping them, even though there's no benefit to me other than the comfort I get that if it happens to me, they're going to show up and do the same thing. It's a trust factor. Unfortunately, in the real world, trust isn't as, you know, readily available as we would like it to be. And the bigger the scale gets, the harder that is to measure. So insurance companies, rather than just hoping that they're going to come through, have contracts that say, if a catastrophe happens, everyone kicks in a little bit. When that catastrophe happens to you, you get paid out from the little bit everyone's contributed. Makes sense. The reality is health plans are most often used for things like dental and eyeglasses and stuff that's routine things. They're not catastrophic at all. They're things that should be saved and budgeted for. So, A, if you have a good savings plan, rather than putting money into insurance, that's a way to self-insure for those day-to-day things. But if you look at some of the catastrophic things, a major prescription cost, significant, in Canada, it's a lot different than it is in the U.S., but things still can come up. If you have a good health plan through an employer, even if it's after you've retired, those are often the best plans. They're not cheap. But if you look at the cost of, you know, a major illness or major issues that come up, that can be extremely devastating to your financial situation. All of a sudden, that cost of insurance isn't so bad anymore. If you don't have one of those, the next step down is individual plans, and there are plenty of individual plan providers. They're usually not as comprehensive because the only people buying are individuals that probably need them. So they're a little more limited and they're a little more expensive, but they can still be reasonable and be very helpful. The third option, if you don't do either of those, especially if you're perfectly healthy, you can go without insurance. The challenge is none of us know for sure that we're going to be perfectly healthy forever. So looking at least getting some type of insurance in place to cover off the catastrophic things, not necessarily the day-to-day stuff, probably a good idea.
Thank you so much for your insights and your time today, Kevin. To my listeners, thank you for your time, and we'll talk again soon.
A half-hour financial advice program, Tune Up with Deb, is produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George. Deb Ross is an accredited financial counselor with Intune Financial Solutions in Prince George. Be listening for Tune Up with Deb each week at this time. For previous shows or more information on Intune Financial Solutions, visit intunefinancial.ca.